All right, well, one of the blessings of family camp gathering together is hearing testimonies of how the Lord has saved people, how he's been working in their lives. Psalm 66 says, "Come and let me tell you, all you who fear the Lord, let me tell you what he has done for my soul." And so we see that in Scripture, and we're going to get to see some of that here. This is always a highlight for me personally. I know for you guys to just hear how the Lord has saved people and how he's been working in their lives. And so our first two testimonies this evening in your program are by Corey and Hannah Freeman. And I want you guys both come up. I'll let you decide who's going first. But let me pray as they're coming, just that the Lord would bless this time as we share together. Our great God, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the gospel, these great truths that we just sang of our Savior and his strength, and that he's paid it all, and that he is sufficient to save and also to change us. So I pray that you would bless this time of testimonies now for the glory of your name. Amen.
Hello, we're Corey and Hannah. So the way the Lord has sanctified us.
We should pass it.
Oh, what?
I was just going to add, we want to do something a little bit different because I said my testimony in front of our church, like two or three times. So I thought it would be fun to talk about like also our testimonies, but also kind of how the Lord has like grown us more through our marriage and just the beginning of our parenthood, just something a little bit different. So anyway.
And with that being said, most of you haven't heard my testimony, but I've gone to the church my whole life, so I figured this would be a good time to do in front of my church family. So I was lucky enough and blessed enough to be raised in a Christian home my whole life. I had a Christian dad, he's right over there, and my mom too, who's taking care of our screaming son right now in the back. But yeah, so I was saved at a young age, came to know Christ at a very young age, but I always knew who Jesus was and that he was my Savior, you know, the things you learn in Sunday school from your teacher. But I didn't really have a close personal relationship till I was probably later on in high school. It was hard for me because, you know, being a teenager and everything and being raised in the church my whole life, I had trouble finding out, like, you know, is this really my, sorry, that was a fly. Is this really, you know, am I really a Christian? Just because I was raised in the church my whole life and everyone knew me doesn't mean that makes me a Christian. So it really wasn't until after high school where I really started to develop more and actually prayed to God when I was around 18 to change me, because I knew that I was rebelling against God. I knew that for many, many years, but I never truly repented. So it wasn't until I was around 18 is when I truly gave myself to Christ and began to follow him. It wasn't easy though, however, so, you know, but I was truly blessed to be able to still have a church family who knew me and grew me and other brothers and sisters in Christ who knew my weaknesses and were always keeping me accountable for that. So with that, are we getting into
that? Yeah, you talk about me. It's my turn.
Okay. Oh, it's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay. Okay, now I'll talk about how the Lord transformed my heart. So I am very thankful to have grown up in a Christian home, but the Lord didn't transform my heart until I was 19 years old, and it was actually at family camp, which was actually pretty cool. I always longed to be good and to not be sinning constantly, which obviously I still do. But through my salvation, I learned that I'm not a slave to sin, but I'm not a slave to my sinful nature. Christ has given me freedom from the bonds of sin. I wanted to read a verse. John 8:34-36 said, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" So that was a good verse to, I guess, kind of, what's the word? I don't remember. It's like I'm going to move on. I'm not good at talking in front of people. Okay, so anyway, that verse reminded me that I have strength in Christ to grow, which after my salvation, obviously I still had a ton to do. You know, it's not like you're instantly perfect. I made a lot of poor decisions after that, and I longed for love more than anything. I felt like I was going to die alone, which obviously I didn't, but I made it kind of an idol in my heart. But God, in his goodness, worked in my heart, and I learned to be more content with my situation and tried to occupy my time with forms of service and a path for my life. But, enter Corey. I literally.
Yeah. So a little backstory about our relationship. We knew each other for about, 5-6 years, but we did not like each other.
We flirted a lot at family camp.
Yes, we did flirt a lot at family camp. That still wasn't good. Point is that I had no intentions with her. I did not like her, and she did not like me, and that was that. So during this time as well, I was struggling with contentment. I was 24 at the time, single, living on my own, and just all the time asking God, you know, where's my wife? I've been waiting and I'm struggling with this contentment. You know, I want to, you know, give you glory, but it's hard when this desire is burning in my heart. So it was actually a blessing. About 2 months before we started dating is when I finally realized I need to be content. And it wasn't easy, but I felt such a relief off my shoulder just knowing that I'm going to give God all the glory while I'm single, because I'm only single once in my life, so I want to do the best that I can. And then a couple months pass, and then by the Lord's blessing, my sister-in-law over there actually suggested that I take Hannah out just on a date, and I actually said no, I would not do that. But after a while, the Lord was definitely working in my heart, and I kept debating, should I? Are you calling me to her, Lord? I don't even like her. Like, you know, but she seems like a nice girl. So through the Lord's grace and blessing, I decided to ask her out on a date at Starbucks. And I remember this very specifically because I thought it wasn't going to last very well. And so I texted one of my old buddies and told him, hey, this isn't going to last very long, so we'll hang out afterwards. Well, a couple hours turned into 5 hours, and then turned into 6 hours, and then Starbucks closed, so we went outside and talked some more. And from then on, the rest is history. The Lord was growing us very fast in our relationship. In about 7 months, we were engaged. So, and I just knew, I prayed to the Lord every day that, Lord, is she the one for me? Is this the one that you have called me to? And the Lord made that very clear just through our relationship and growing together and growing more towards Christ and her helping me as a helper to become the godly man that I am now. And today we're still growing in that, and the Lord is still sanctifying us. And even though the Lord's timing is perfect, we may not think that at times, because right when we were married, a couple months in, we decided we're not going to have kids for another year, 2 years, and the Lord decided, no, you will have a child within less than a year, and hence our baby boy, William.
Okay, sorry. So I wanted to give my 2 cents on our first few months of marriage, and I'm just going to say, like, they were really hard. Like, I cried so many times, you know, it's funny, all those dark, ugly, icky sins, like, come out of the closet, and they roar their ugly head. So our marriage has definitely become a pivotal part of my sanctification and also Corey's, I'm assuming, growing closer to the Lord and growing closer to each other. I feel like I'm forced to grow and work on those sins of anger and pride, among other things. But I am thankful to have Corey alongside me to learn and grow. Part of learning to trust God came along with being pregnant, especially with William, very shortly after we were married, as Corey said. It wasn't exactly in our plans, but it was certainly in God's, and that was something that I had to deal with in my heart a lot. I was not happy I was pregnant. I was actually pretty like, peeved about it for quite a few months, which is totally awful. Like, who wouldn't want their baby? Like, I wanted my baby, but I was also like, God, why am I pregnant? Like, I don't want this. But the Lord worked in my heart again, and I came to realize that I was so thankful for William and just for being pregnant and growing our family together, because we love each other, and we love the Lord, and we knew that's what he had for us. Let me see, where am I? So, with being pregnant with William, we had quite a few struggles and challenges with bringing him into the world. Through those events, I'm beginning to learn what it's like to trust God when you have zero control over what is happening, and that is, like, one of the hardest things for me. I don't like being out of control, but when we surrender our fears to God, we can see his sovereignty and grace in our life, and through that, we are able to give 100% of the glory to him. So, with that, Corey, wrap this up.
Happening. Yeah, just one note on when William was, when Hannah was pregnant with William, that was a rough time for some of you who may know what we were going through. It was a very, very rough 9 months, and it's something I never experienced before in my life. Hannah was sick. We went to the hospital many, many, many times, and I had no control over her health or well-being. I couldn't comfort her in the way that she wanted to be comforted. And I knew that only the Lord could, so I would pray to the Lord, Lord, comfort Hannah, because I can't do it all by myself. There's absolutely no way, only you can. And during those 9 months, she would be in pain for all night, for 12 hours straight, just in pain, and we'd go to the hospital, and we'd do it 2 to 3 times a week, and it was rough. And then, on top of that, once William was born, she had to go in for surgery, and this was during COVID. So I couldn't be there, and neither could William. So she was by herself while I took care of our 2-week-old son for a couple of days. But thankfully, I had my parents as well, which was a huge blessing. But it was also very hard for her and I. Very, very hard. While we were on the phone, we'd be praying that the Lord would help her and that the surgery would go well, long distance. But that was a rough time, and that, I think, in our marriage is what really started us off growing closer together. Because it's easy when, you know, when there's no kids and you can, you know, go do your own thing. She can go do her own thing. But really, when you have a child, you need to work together as husband and wife and for the glory of God. And that really was the starting point of, I think, parenthood for us was...
And more sanctification.
And more, yeah, and more sanctification. So with that, the reason why we share this is because we want to give other people who either are going through something or may not be married but want to be married, who are single, trust in the Lord. Because he knows his perfect timing. Because I remember I wanted to get married at 22, 23. But looking back now and what the Lord has done with us in our marriage, I can see why the Lord didn't want me to get married at that time. So you may not know the answer now, but the Lord will reveal in his perfect timing. So hope that was all a blessing to you, and thank you.
Thank you guys for sharing and opening up as we're all one big family here, and it's a blessing to see how the Lord's growing you both and growing your family. And speaking of family, the next testimony is actually someone I did a lot of camping with growing up. I won't get into those stories right now. You can ask me afterwards, but there's some fun stories. All right, so one more testimony this evening, and that is Ethan and Lisa Trepepi, both of you. You guys both coming up? All right. I was mentioning we had many opportunities, many memories camping with Lisa growing up, and it's good to see both of you guys here. Look forward to hearing what you guys have to share.
Well, as many of you know, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were church planters in the Philippines, and I was actually moved there when I was a baby, so I grew up there. And at a younger age, I heard the gospel, obviously, and my parents really lived out a genuine Christianity. So I was very blessed by that. I'm the youngest in my family. I have three siblings. I have an older sister, a brother whom many of you, or all of you, call Pastor Phil, and another brother. So when I was 5 years old, I was young. I remember playing church with my three older siblings, which was kind of a cute thing to play, I think, as a family of missionary kids. Well, my brother Phil was our pastor, which is kind of ironic, and he was preaching to us, my siblings, about hell. So I got really scared. You know, I'm a five-year-old, and I didn't want to go to hell. And so my siblings told me, go wake up mom and dad, because they were taking a nap. Go to them, and they'll explain everything to you. So my parents explained salvation and how I needed to repent. And so at a young age, I'm not sure I really understood yet, but I prayed a sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to save me. But then when I was seven, I remember just having doubts about salvation, and like I just saw myself disobeying my parents a lot, fighting with my siblings, and I hated my sin. I hated it, and so I just kept praying the sinner's prayer over and over, and like, please, I know I'm a sinner, please save me. And so shortly after that, I realized that I didn't need to pray that prayer over and over again, that I had repented of my sins. God was working in my heart and showing me my sins, and I could be secure in my salvation because of God's work. Then in fifth grade, a couple years later, I just really started having a desire to grow in the Lord and study the Bible on my own. So I remember my parents gave me a little devotional Bible that I would do on my own every night. And then as I got older in high school and junior high, I just really wanted to grow, and it was a genuine faith. Then in college, I was able to go to the Master's College, and I just loved my time there and really grew in my understanding of God's Word. Well, 14 years ago, I met my husband, and we've been married for 14 years now, and we've been blessed with five young children, and being a mom has actually been the most sanctifying thing in my life. Every day, I just realize how impatient, selfish, and spiritually weak I am. I need God so much every minute. Even today has been a hard day. So just God's sanctifying work in my life is a process. And I'm so thankful that my salvation is not based on any of my works, because I would not be able to earn my salvation. So I'm so thankful for that. So let me encourage you with a verse, Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm. So my earliest church experiences were in the Catholic Church. That's what my family was into. And at some point in my childhood, my grandmother had a strong influence on my mother, and she started going to charismatic churches, and so my mother kind of followed along. So I was in the charismatic churches for pretty much throughout my whole childhood and early and mid-teenage years. Just some background. My parents divorced when I was four. Both ended up getting remarried to other people. When I was 11, moved from New York to California, and continued to just be in those charismatic churches. So at some point, like, I think the Lord was working on me and affecting my mind about the way things were, because I really struggled, because I really felt like I believe there must be a God, there must be a creator. The Bible is true. The Bible is God's word. But the stuff I was witnessing from the pulpit and in the churches and, you know, the crazy charismatic stuff, you know, like the falling down, the supposed healings, the tongues, the dancing, the, you know, hilarious thing, like all the crazy stuff. So I, like, something in my mind was not working out. Like, I believe in God. There is a creator, but this stuff is kind of crazy. So I didn't know what to do. So I just stopped going to church. So at some point, maybe around 20-ish, 21,
started going to church again and went to churches that were, went to a church that was doctrinally sound, no crazy stuff, not charismatic, solid, but light in the teaching. So I didn't know any better, and I didn't know anything back then. I wasn't saved. So just went for many years to churches that were, more just, they would have a topical sermon. There was no digging deep into the scriptures. The gospel wasn't preached. So at one point, I had a friend who, was going to Grace Community Church, and he occasionally would tell me, "Hey, come on, check out Grace." And I thought, what for? I have my own church, you know, everything's fine. But then one day I was like, I'll go check it out. Went to Grace Community Church. From like just the first, just sitting there, you know, singing hymns, with theology and gospel truth in every line, sitting down, the orderliness of the service. John MacArthur getting up there, I had no idea who he was, I'd never heard him before, preaching, and I just was like blown away. I knew this was good, and so I just immediately made that my church. But I still, at that point, I'm not sure if I was saved at that point or the following year, but I'll explain the sequence of events that happened during that time. So my whole growing up and, or not growing up, but since I could form an opinion about it, I was pretty much a five-point Arminian. You chose to repent. It was up to you. And if that was the case, you could lose your salvation. I have some good in me. Everybody does. God doesn't choose first. That's a lot of the charismatic and thinks that way, and a lot of other denominations. But that's how I was. So anyway, at some point, at Grace during my first year there, I was attending a group that met every Friday night, and it's kind of fun, but. So anyway, I was sitting there one Friday night listening to one of the pastors speak. His name is Kurt Gebhards, and it was just to a group, and he was talking about God's sovereignty and salvation, basically the opposite of everything I thought. And I remember sitting there, like, listening to what he was saying and thinking, this is weird. Like, people actually believe this? I was like, huh, all right. And I remember at one point, like, looking around the room to see if anybody else was kind of freaking out about what was coming out of his mouth, but everybody was fine. So, okay. So afterward, I spoke to him, and I asked him some questions, and I said, I hear what you say, but I don't know, I have some questions. So I asked him a question about salvation and what I thought I knew and what he was teaching. And so I was holding my Bible, my NIV Bible that I'd had for many years. Anyway, and so he was standing here, and so I'd ask him a question, and he said, "Well, Ethan," and he'd flip upside down in my Bible and show me, "Oh, see, the answer is blah, blah." He showed me in scripture. And I was like, okay. And I'd give him another challenge, and he would flip in my Bible upside down and say, "Well, the Bible says," duh, duh, duh. And I was like, okay. So that went like on like three times. And I thought it was kind of weird. He was like answering some really challenging questions with this book that I had in my hand for like a decade. Well, why didn't I kind of like see that or know how to do that? So a lot of the stuff was, the Lord was working on me. So I just left that meeting thinking, all right, I need to consider these things. So then the following year, that would have been 2005, I attended the church had a program called Logos, and it was just these classes you could take. So I just took one. I did it the whole year, just a bunch of different classes. And providentially, the first class I took was the 4-week course on soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. And it was, I mean, the Lord works everything to his good, and it's amazing. So the instructor had us memorize a passage each week. And each of the 4 weeks, we had to memorize a passage. So, and I wanted to get a good grade in the class, so I kept reciting it over and over in my head and reading it and memorizing it to the all the punctuation. I wanted to get it all right. So what I'll do is, if you don't mind, I'll read a couple of the passages that he had us memorize and listen to what the Lord says. You've heard these passages many times before, but listen to what the Lord says about salvation. Who chooses who? Whom? Who acts first? What is our condition before God chooses us? So I'll read a few of those passages. The first is Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. So the first week, I'm just going in my head over and over and over again. Week two. All right, so I got an A on the first week. Week two. All right, memorize this passage, Ephesians 2:3-6. Among whom, and again, like, what this is doing to a mind that doesn't understand God's power and salvation. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, so there's another one. At this point, the Lord's working on me. Then, you guys don't mind, the other next passage that I had to memorize if I wanted to do well in this class, Romans 5:6-10. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. It was at that point that the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to the truth that I was a sinner. I could not save myself. Jesus died to save me. And there's nothing, and anything I do is in response to his kindness. So at that point, I understood those things. So that might have been when I was saved, or it might have been shortly before that. And I know the Lord was working on me. But in any case, if I was already saved, this was like getting saved again, I guess. But it just felt, it was amazing. It was. I knew that, you know, the Lord, he was gracious enough to work and change me. That was about a year or so before I met Lisa. Yeah, and Lisa kind of carried on some of what followed after that between us. And that's it for the salvation story. And thank you for listening.
Well, thank you both for sharing, and I got to meet Ethan shortly after that and actually began to disciple him and help him grow in his... Sorry about that. Can you guys hear me now? It was a great blessing to grow up with Lisa and then also to be able to join Ethan in his spiritual growth journey and disciple him. And then about a year later, he met Lisa, and the rest is history. They can tell you the rest of that story sometime, but it was a great blessing to see how the Lord's grown both of them, and just the encouragement of those words, but God, and how Christ works in our lives by his grace, even not on our bad days, on our hard times and bad days. Some of us have had struggles, and even today, but the Lord, we remember those great words, but God, he is rich in mercy, and he's working all things for his good and for his glory. So, Father, we thank you for your grace, your goodness. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, I am just so thankful to see how you work in our lives, how you grow us, how you sanctify us as we, whether it's through marriage, parenting, or singleness, or just our how you reveal our hearts and our need for you, our need for salvation, our depravity and your grace that meets us in our deepest need. We thank you for this time. We pray you continue to keep us safe. Help us to, even as James says, to be those who don't grumble or complain, people who would be thankful, and that we would just, as we enjoy fellowship together, that you would grow our connections and that we would be seeking to encourage in our conversations. We pray you'd allow that to take place even tonight, and bless this time with the s'mores, with the kids, and other people who may not be kids who like s'mores as well. We just thank you for this evening. In Christ's name, amen.